Good evening. Glad to see everyone back out on this still the Lord's day, even though it's dark outside. I guess we'll have to get used to it for a few months. We can make a huge impact on others, but sometimes it can be a negative impact. You know, when we think about sin, we know sin impacts us. How? Our souls are in danger. Our souls are in danger of eternal punishment. We know that when we sin, we are separated from God, and it will cost us everything. But the question we're going to answer tonight is, does sin just impact us? Well, the short answer is no, it impacts far more than just us. We know the whole world right now is deep, deep in sin. And so many people, as we are here tonight, are sinning, are living in sin, and it's costing them greatly. But we think about our families, we think about our friends. We can either make a positive impact or a negative impact. Negative impact meaning if we are in sin, if we are participating in sin, it can impact them as well. And so tonight, we're going to look at the effects that sin has. And the first thing I want to look at are relationships, marriages. When we look at Matthew 19, starting in verse 4, Matthew chapter 19, starting in verse 4, and he answered and said, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." They said to him, "Why then did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away?" So we need to understand, under the law of Moses, as long as they presented a certificate of divorce, they were good. They were right. But here Christ says, "But I say to you, you can't divorce for any other reason except sexual immorality, adultery." We know that sexual immorality is sex outside of marriage. When we look at many marriages today, there are divorces happening every day. People come together, two people, husband and wife, come together and are divorced for other reasons. And sadly, I know of ministers who have been divorced. Some just, the wives just choosing to walk away from the marriage, or for reasons of adultery, of sexual immorality. Here is just the impact we see with sin within a marriage. Not only, yes, you can divorce and remarry, but you are tearing what God has joined together. Husband, wife become one flesh. They separate from their parents and become one together. And what a beautiful, you know, when you think about wedding, the wedding day, it's a beautiful thing. It really is. You see the groom come dressed up, snazzy looking, and then you see the bride come around the corner with a beautiful white dress, and then the minister preaches a small sermon. And marrying the two before God and before the eyes of others. It's a beautiful day. Wonderful. But if the husband and wife are not careful, and they allow sin to come in that marriage, when they defile the marriage bed, it destroys that beautiful picture. It destroys that life, that marriage. As Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is to be held in honor among all. And the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For the sexually immoral and adulterous, God will judge. I hate when I see marriages fall apart. Divorce happens. It affects the husband and wife in many different ways. It's not a pretty picture, and divorces never are, especially when cheating has taken place. I know of Christians who have been longtime faithful Christians in the church get divorced because of cheating. They did not put God or keep God in the center of their marriage. They allowed sin to come in unnoticed, or maybe noticed, and didn't do anything about it. And so we have this perfect union that has been torn apart. It's a sad reality, but sin affects marriages. But not just marriages, but the relationship between parents and children. When we look at the mother and father and the son and daughter, we know that children are called to obey their parents. Parents are to lead their children, be godly examples, raising their children up in a godly home. In Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 1, this is what Paul tells the Ephesians. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Parents, obey your, or children, obey your parents. I about flipped it around. Children, obey your parents. Parents, lead your children in a godly home. Raise them up in the discipline of the Lord. But guess what happens in a lot of homes? Sin reigns. Many different fashions. Entertainment. Children are allowed to watch whatever they want, and parents don't mind, even if it is sinful. They don't spend time in God's Word together. You know, a beautiful setting would be the parents sitting down with the children every night, studying the Word of God, teaching them. That's a beautiful picture that we can paint. One of the most beautiful pictures to me is this old, and it's a famous painting. Everybody probably has it in their home, of a man with a loaf of bread, and I think some soup, and he's sitting there praying. It's a beautiful picture. But once again, we don't have that happening. And so the result of this, this sin destroys the family. Especially when divorce happens. It doesn't only affect husband and wife, mom and dad. It affects the children. Statistics show that a child born and raised in a one-parent household more likely not to succeed. But the children who are raised by both parents grow up in a two-parent home, husband and wife, mom and dad are in the picture. They have a more likelihood of succeeding in life and being good. Now, it's not always like that, of course. But there is a greater chance. And when children are raised up in a godly home, there's a greater chance that they will grow and remain in the faith and teach their children. As we look back throughout the Old Testament, they were told to teach your children, to raise them up, remind them, tell them what God has done for your fathers. But we see that there would be generations that would come that forgot. Did not know what God had done for them, and we see the results of that. Friendships. It does affect friendships, and I tell people all the time, surround yourself with godly friends, people who encourage you and help you walk the right path, not the path of sin, which leads to destruction, but the godly path, which leads you to eternal life. In Proverbs 22, starting in verse 24, Proverbs 22, starting in verse 24. Do not befriend a man of anger, and do not come along with a man of great wrath, lest you learn his ways and take on a snare against your soul. When you surround yourself with worldly friends, you are of great risk of allowing that worldly influence to influence you, to pull you astray. I don't care how old you are or how young you are, of any age, that the world can influence you. The world can pull you away from the faith. And so sin in friendships, it can do a number. It can cause someone to separate themselves from good people, from people who do care, people who want them to grow. And it can do lasting damage to where you will never talk to them again. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "And do not be deceived, bad company corrupts good morals." Sin does a number on many relationships today. And so when we look, when we ourselves have sin in our lives, are we going to have a positive impact on others? No. They're going to see us doing these things, doing these evil things, and they're going to think, well, if he's doing it, it must be okay. When we look at the church in Corinth, Paul was writing them a letter not to tell them, well done, but to tell them and rebuke them and correct them, get rid of the sin. Because that's my next point here. It destroys the church. I have seen so many congregations have splits. Division had caused a big split. And a congregation that may have been at one time a 100-member congregation now is down to 50, 40. Because sin was not dealt with. There are congregations that have gone south, have gone away from teaching truth and worshiping in spirit and in truth, and are now allowing the world, the pressures of the world to come in and cause them to be unfaithful. It divides the church. In Romans chapter 6, Romans 16, that's wrong on my PowerPoint. Romans chapter 16, starting in verse 17. Romans chapter 16, starting in verse 17. It says, "Now I urge you, brothers, to keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and stumblings contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own stomach. And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting." Paul is telling them here, have nothing to do with these people. Withdraw from these people. Why? Because if you allow them in, if you allow them to grow and root down in the church, it's going to cause problems. It's going to cause division. It's going to destroy the church. You know, when we think about the church in Rome, it was in a bad spot. Rome was not a godly city. Rome was full of paganism, full of sin, things going on. I'm sure it was a struggle. But Paul was trying to write to them and tell them, this is what you need to do in order to be pleasing to God, not to the world. As we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 10 here, we see Paul condemns division. "Now I exhort you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. For I have been informed concerning you, my brothers, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" And that wasn't the only thing going on in Corinth. Sexual immorality was running rampant. Even that's not even named among the Gentiles. There were plenty of things happening in the church of Corinth. Paul correcting them, trying to put them back on the right path with the teachings of Christ. If sin is not dealt with within the church, within the body, it will do everlasting damage. It will cause people to go astray, because another thing that sin does to the church, it makes others think they can do it and not and be okay. It makes others think, well, if they're doing this and there's no correction, there's nothing being done, then maybe I can do it and get away with it. Maybe God will be okay with it. No. As we look at Achan, when we look at our main text back in Joshua 7, Achan had taken what was devoted to destruction, brought it back to the camp, and hid it. What was the result? What was the impact? Israel went to Ai and lost. And they're wondering, what in the world happened? And then God told them what had happened. There's someone among you that has sinned, that has disobeyed me, my word. Did they just sit around and say, you know what, we'll let that individual off? No. They took care of it. They sought that individual out. And when they found out what Achan had done, when they found out who it was, they pulled him, talked to him. Joshua told him, tell me what you have done. Tell me where you have put these things that you have taken that you shouldn't have. Achan tells him, and the result of that is Achan and all that he had, and even his daughters, would perish with him. Not only did Achan's sin impact him, but it impacted his family. It impacted the whole nation of Israel. When sin is in the church, it not only impacts the individual, it impacts the entire church. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, brothers, even if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each of you looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. You know, when we look at Paul, when he talks about handing individuals over to Satan, is that out of hatred? Is that out of anger? No, that's out of love. When someone corrects you in a gentle spirit, they're doing it because they care about your soul. They want you to do what's right. Parents, if your children are doing something and it's dangerous, are you just going to let them do it? No, because you know the impact. It could kill them. It could hurt them. It could harm them. So you correct them. You spank that bottom. And you ground them, teaching them, this is wrong. This can hurt you. That's exactly what Paul did to these churches and what all the apostles did to the churches that were throughout these regions. They corrected them. Even Peter himself, Paul would correct Peter. Paul would rebuke Peter. Not out of hate, not out of anger, but out of love, because he saw that Peter had gone astray as well, pulled Barnabas along with him. There's another impact sin has. That's another example. We are to correct them. We are to help restore them to be faithful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you. And sexual immorality is such a kind as does not exist among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. And you have become puffed up and have not mourned instead, so that the one who had done this deed would be removed from your midst. For I, on my part, though absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged him who has committed this, as though I were present, in the name of our Lord Jesus. When you are assembled, and I with you in spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in a day of the Lord. Paul cared about these individuals who were in sin, so much so, hand them over to Satan so that their flesh may die, but their spirit may be restored, that they may be saved once again. I have been in congregations. Once again, I have been in congregations where sin was allowed. The elders and deacons did nothing about it. And the result, I saw it spread. people not being faithful, gossip, all kinds of sins going on. That's a huge impact, not just on the individual, but the entire church. Paul has called Peter, all the apostles, even Christ calls all to repent, to stay away from sin, to remove sin from their life, to come to Him. Our souls are on the line. Yes, sin does impact our souls. It impacts deeply our souls, but also the souls of others. I tell people we are a walking, talking billboard for Christ. But when we are a walking, talking billboard for sin, we are leading many astray. We are leading people down the path that leads to destruction. I think about all these false teachers that we see, and I ask the question, I pondered on it, how in the world can you get behind that pulpit and twist God's word and know, possibly know, you are leading millions to hell? But they themselves outside are living a sinful lifestyle. It's present. You can see it. It's made for the public. We are a walking, talking billboard for Christ. But this is how it impacts our souls. It separates us from God. Isaiah 59, starting in verse 1. Behold, the hand of Yahweh is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Israel would cost themselves plenty of headaches, heartaches, because of their sin, because they had disobeyed God, and God would punish them. And it would be a continual process throughout their time, throughout their existence. Our punishment is eternal. Our punishment will be far worse than that of physical death. We're talking spiritual death. We are separated from God. You know, as we sit here, as we live and breathe and eat and just do whatever in this life, God's presence is always here. But there will be a time when we will be separated where His presence will not be. When we think about hell, we think about fire, we think about burning for eternity. But the worst of it all, and it's bad, it's terrible, the worst thing about it is that we are separated from the presence of God for eternity. That is a lot worse. Sin separates you from a loving, forgiving, merciful God. We know God is holy. We know God is just. Eternal punishment. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. Executing vengeance on those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. This is what sin does to relationships, to marriages, to families, to friendships. This is what sin does to the church. This is what sin does to our souls. Why continue in sin? If you know food is bad, do you eat it? No. I'm actually very, if it's even just one day old, I throw it out. I don't want it. I'm not taking the risk. I don't care if the bread is still fresh. I want nothing to do with it. I know that's, you know, whatever. My wife gets on to me about that. Why can't we be like that with sin? Why tiptoe? Why play with sin when we know what it can do? And if you don't know what it does, you do now. Sin is destroying your soul. And not only will it destroy your soul, but ones involved with you that you're leading astray. Understand this, whoever is here tonight and who's not a Christian, this is what sin's doing to your soul. And if you don't make it right, and you can't, if you don't make it right by coming to Christ, you're not promised tomorrow. I'm only 32, and I tell people, I could die tonight. Lord willing, I don't. We need to make sure that we are right with God. And you, those who are not Christians, need to make sure you are right with God this night. And this is how you do it. You must hear the word, which has been preached to you, Romans 10, 17. You must believe that word, Mark 16, 15, and 16. Now we need to meet the conditions that have been put before us. We must repent of our sins. That means you are denying yourself. You're denying that sinful self, and you're turning back to God. You're changing your life. You're changing your mind. Then you must confess your faith in Christ. Those who confess me before man, I will confess before my Father. Those who deny me before man, I will deny before my Father. But it doesn't stop there. There must be obedience. A true believer, one who has true faith, will obey the gospel. And how do we obey? By being immersed for the forgiveness of our sins. Acts 2:38, Acts 22:15 and 16, 1 Peter 3:21. But it doesn't stop there either. We must remain faithful all our days. Hebrews 10:23. That means being a walking, talking billboard for Christ. Being a Jesus freak. Being a godly man, a godly woman, who puts God first above all and putting away sin. Or if you were a Christian, have gone astray, there's still time this evening to make things right. But you must come forward, you must repent and be restored. Be reconciled to God. Don't wait, because you are not promised tomorrow. You're not promised an hour from now. Make it right and put away sin and start impacting people for God. So if you're here this evening, you need any assistance, the church is here. And the church is willing to pray for you, to assist you in any way you need. All you need to do is come as we stand and as we sing.